Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
One alive, one dead. One fictional. It's up to you who you choose. You pick them all. It's up to you who you choose. You pick them all. Who you having? Make it who you wish. This is your dinner party. And it's your guest list.
Hello, and welcome to episode 11 of Guest List with Jake Lambert, the podcast where I interview comedians to find out who would be their perfect dinner party guests. But they can only pick three. One has to be alive, one has to be dead, and one has to be fictional. Now, this week we are joined by Maisie Adam. It's such a good episode. Interesting choices. I don't hold back on, I think, letting her know that the first choice is, I'd say, questionable. Not because it's bad, it's just, well, you're here. Also, it has, I think, the best reaction to my predictions of who I thought she would choose for her dinner party. A heads up, the conversation at the start is very comedy heavy, so apologies if you have absolutely no interest in two comedians who have no idea questioning whether or not the Edinburgh Fringe is going to go ahead, but that's basically what you've got for the first 10 minutes. Please, as ever, continue to rate and subscribe and share on social media whenever you listen. It does make such a difference. I get sort of sent the numbers each week and I can see it goes up each week. It's amazing. And also I've got this little map thing. I can see it's actually really cool. We've got listeners in Brazil, China, South Korea, Norway, Australia, New Zealand. It's amazing. Wherever you're from, welcome. And please enjoy my conversation with Maisie Adam.
Yeah, I'm just praying that the pneumatic drilling isn't going to be a problem.
It's almost comical, the idea of you getting ready for this, everything's right, you've sort of made yourself a cup of tea, you've had your lunch, you're prepared, and you just look out the window and a just construction team just pull up. Cement mixer.
I've not had a gig all week. I've had a week of no gigging, and then today I've got this and two gigs tonight. I've got a corporate and then the vert locker, and that's the day the pneumatic drills arrive.
I can now hear something rhythmically going. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
We'll just sort of, if it gets really bad, we'll edit something where we'll record something at the end where you go, well, for my dinner party, I've had us being at some sort of like underground rave.
Quite an industrial theme.
And I'll go, don't worry, I'll add some noises in on the post edit. We'll sort of sort it out.
Oh, God. Right. Okay. Got it.
When's your first gig back? Your proper gig?
I think, is it May? Is that when it's legal?
I don't know when it's legal, but I do know that I have a gig as of May the 1st.
Right, yeah, this is the thing. So I've got Banana Cabaret in on the 14th of May, but as far as I'm concerned, we're not back till 17th. So I think I'm awaiting an email from Dave at Banana Cabaret going, oh, I've just realised this is an illegal rave. But I think my first, like, legal, oh, and then I've got Banana Cabaret, the legal way. I've got an illegal one.
That's right, because you can shamelessly do the same material, and if the audience say we heard that last time, you can go, well, actually that was illegal, so yeah. Who do you want to tweet or report that to?
Exactly. Oh my God, yeah, I could say anything at that gig and I can't get cancelled. I'm just going to be completely unleashed. Maisie Adam, unfiltered. Triggered, are you? They go full Bill Burr, Joe Rogan material.
swinging from a bottle, leaning on the mic stand.
Oh my god, with a bar stool, with a bar stool. What else?
Just with some notes on there. Just here's another thing.
You know what else pisses me off?
Yeah, I've got outside ones from May the 1st, which I assume is that's legal.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think you're allowed to be outside. I think you can go outside in May. I think so. Yeah, I'm not sure. No one's sure anymore.
I'll go there because I've been told to go there, and I assume that it's everyone who's organised it is fully aware of the rules more than I am.
Well, I can't believe like Edinburgh haven't said anything. We're meant to be believing that they're just like going, oh yeah, Pleasance Courtyard will be going ahead as usual. You know, we'll have 350 people in the debating hall for the Say That You're Funny final, hot and sweaty.
I love how late they left it last year to cancel it, because it was the Olympics had been cancelled and the Edinburgh Olympics Festival was holding on.
People trained for 4 years to perform at the Olympics, and like it's also something that, like, for those athletes, if that's been cancelled, they could be like, if you're at the peak now of, like, I don't know, 28, you're 32 when you're too old. If that's been cancelled, you can probably count on that your show above an Italian restaurant in Cowgate isn't going to go ahead. Oh,
and any mention of it like that, because the idea of doing a show and being able to gig for like 3.5 weeks or whatever in a row sounds incredible. I'd love to be able to gig that much and just be able to look forward to it. But as soon as anything slightly real is referenced, for example, finding accommodation or being offered a room to perform in, whether half five is better than half 10, what should I do? It just gets me in the stomach.
I don't want to deal with that for another year, at least.
So you were going to go last year then, I assume?
Was going to go last year, was low-key relieved. It was because I had nothing. And then I was like, oh, but I'll have 2021 to do it. And now I'm not convinced this is going ahead. So, like, I think all my deposit is still with Edinburgh and stuff, but it's just rolling over.
Yeah,
rolling over. But I think I'll definitely go, like, in 2022, along with everybody else. I just think it's going to be like a mass.
I hope that room offer that I had is still there, because you do a Gilded Balloon, right?
Yeah.
I was going to do Pleasance. I was going to have the baby grand at like 7:30. It was like the loveliest room, loveliest time. I was actually so excited for that room offer. There's a few nights I'd sort of gone to bed thinking, I wonder what it's going to be like to perform in that room. I was like excited for it.
Yeah.
Still, of course, like you, so relieved when it got cancelled.
Well, it's like, how many Edinburghs have you done?
Two. So this is going to be my third.
Yeah, so same. And I was like, well, I've done, I don't know about you, but two back-to-back as well. So I was like, I've got no material. And I was in Australia this time last year doing like a... 20 minutes along with two other comedians for a show, and like not really trying as much new stuff as I should have been. So I was really, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get back in April and just have like nothing. And I've got like those 3 months to just get a show together. So I was really like behind and very much blagging it. I didn't even know what to call my show title. I think I'd given it like a really middle. It might as well have been called Maisie Adam Tells Jokes.
Brackets, hopefully.
Yeah, it had no structure or anything. I had nothing to say.
See, without wanting to sound crass, I had loads, and I was like talking with people who were going, you're so ahead. And I was like, I just really feel like I found my groove. So I thought, like, what's going to happen is I'm going to go up there and it'll be my best show. And I've done the three. I always wanted to do three. One, two, three, and see where I was after three. It was all in place. And then, so what happened was, I had made sure, because I usually do tour support September, October, November, so I really can't try new too much because it's like bigger gigs. So I usually start in February, And I promised myself in February I'd write a brand new 20. And I went on stage in March to perform a brand new 20 that didn't exist pre-February. And it was all going to be new. And I performed it once, and that was the last live gig I did. That was it. And so much of the stuff would be an insane thing to even attempt to talk about after a global health pandemic.
This is the thing. It's like I feel sorry for those acts who maybe had like taken a year off in 2019 and were coming to do their big show. Like I'd seen like Kiri had got like really expensive photos done where she was like pulling her heart out, and it was called like empathy pain. So you could tell it was a whole structured type themed show. I was out in Australia with Ian Smith, and he was like, "Oh yeah, I've not done the last year, so because I've been working so hard on this one." Now you're like,
"Oh no,
3 years that you've now." Well, I'll have a year off, and then you've done an Olympics. You haven't returned to a football. Horrible, horrible.
I was with Joanna McNally yesterday, and she reckons that the festival's going to go ahead. But what? I mean, this is Joanne, so I don't need any examples, but she's got other opinions, which would also be considered insane. So
yeah, that's true.
It's fair to say Edinburgh 2022, there are absolutely no excuses for why you don't actually have this time at least 55 minutes of material. For anyone listening who doesn't understand, we usually do about 50, 45, 5 minute crowd work. No one's ever actually written an hour.
If you go up in 2022 and you are just there being like, oh, I don't know, I haven't got much to say. You're like, what?
You should only be given a venue that year if you can upload a 30-minute clip of brand new material, at least.
That's been another highlight, though, of my pandemic, of just another mad moment, is just seeing, like, Matt, for ages, Matt Richardson was going to Ali Pally and ice skating every day in case he got called up to be the reserve on Dancing on Ice. And I was like, imagine, there's a stay-at-home order, but you're allowed to go ice skating Ali Pally every day in case you get called up because Jason Donovan's got coronavirus. And it happened. And he got called in and he got voted off in his first week. It's like a sitcom. We're all living in a sitcom. When people go, oh, how's your lockdown going? You're like, it's mad for everyone. Like, Matt Richardson's lockdown has consisted of him going ice skating every day in case he's called up, like national service. It's normal.
Matt Richardson is going ice skating. I am not allowed to go and sit on a park bench. What is happening?
Oh, God.
Maisie,
yes.
There has been a knock at the door. It's the first guest of the evening. It's also, probably, I assume, your first guest at your new flat.
Yes, yes.
Lovely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What an honour.
What an honour. And this person of all people. Yes, come on in. So I'll go. I just want to say I've got a doorbell that I didn't know we had until we moved it, and it's not I don't know what the people before us were thinking, but and we don't know if it's a chicken or a dog or like a distressed bird of prey, but yeah, that's presumably going to happen three times throughout this dinner party. Is my doorbell's going to go, and it's sort of like a it's really quite alarming.
On a plus side, it's a good way to prevent you spending too much time on Amazon and ASOS.
That's true. Yeah. It's got to the point now where I get a little notification saying your delivery's on its way, and I just go and wait outside because I can't be doing with hearing this. And we don't know how to change it. It's horrible. It's embarrassing, really, because it's so loud and I'm convinced our neighbours can hear it. And every time it goes, I want to go, we didn't pick it, sorry. So there's a knock at my door, or I've gone downstairs and I'm glad that this person's arrived first because it means that they will get the most out of this. I'm not surprised they've arrived first. I think they're the type of person who, like me, early is on time is late, late is unacceptable.
What a rule.
Yeah, it's a very good rule. So he's got a lovely stripy shirt on. He's here to finally have the dinner party he deserves. I have picked Peter from Come Dine With Me. Now, if you're not familiar with Peter from Come Dine With Me, Peter is a man who went viral because he didn't win. And the clip that went viral is him finding out that he didn't win. And he takes it out on this woman called Jane. And he doesn't, he's not, have you seen this clip, Jake?
Oh, yes.
So he's not exactly gracious. And it all comes out. I think he's been, and what a lot of people don't understand is that's exactly what's happened. He's very pent up. There's been a lot of stuff happening. The thing is, with a viral clip, you just see that one snippet. If you're a true Come Dine With Me fan, like myself, you will have watched this episode and realised that Peter has put up with his fair share of hassle for 4 dinner parties. And I think at that point, when he like takes off the... is it called a gosh or whatever?
Oh, is that what that silver thing is called? I hope it is called that.
I can't remember what it's called. It's called, I think, a clonch or a I can't remember.
But a cosh is like a weapon.
Maybe,
not a cosh. A gosh is quite nice because it's almost what you'd say when they reveal the food.
Gosh,
that is nice.
He takes the big silver dome thing. And
that's better.
Realises he's not one and it all comes out. And frankly, he comes out of it not very well. he loses it. He compares Jane to a reversing dump truck without any tyres on. Tells her she needs to spend the money on getting lessons in grace and decorum. You'll have all known the clip I'm on about. But actually, if you've watched the whole episode, Peter is a wronged man. Okay, he's just continually ribbed at every single party, and he's put loads of effort into his, and then this happens. And actually, I think he just needs to go to a dinner party where his efforts are appreciated. People aren't ribbing him. We're not going to give him a cash prize at the end. So if he does still kick off, then yeah, I'll hold my hands up and go, do you know what, Peter, you're a bit of a knobhead. But I'm a big believer in second chances and two sides to every story. And I think this is an opportunity, this dinner party. This dinner party to Peter is going to be what the Oprah interview was for Harry and Meghan. They're going to finally speak their truth.
What's amazing for a guest is when a guest just leaves you with no questions to have to ask because it was like an essay.
Yeah.
One takeaway from it would be that now you have your Edinburgh show sorted. What a hill to die on.
My new Edinburgh show. Imagine I come back to Edinburgh after a pandemic and what I choose to speak about is a viral clip from even a couple of years before the pandemic of just avenging. I might as well just get like him, the girl like from Vine, the which one of yous doesn't know how to flush the toilet after you've been for a shit, like just a big reunion of viral clips from like years 2014 to 2018.
The ever irreverent Maisie Adam.
Yeah, performed in 2022.
What I also like is when he presses your doorbell, and here's what it sounds like. That is what it would sound like if a truck tried to reverse without any wheels on.
Exactly.
From how you described it.
You might get a bit triggered. Yeah. But I think I'd reassure him. I'd have a little like sign on the door saying no Jane's allowed, you know? So he knows,
nice.
He knows he's okay. He can be like comfortable here. No one's going to take the mickey out of him. I'm confident he's going to get on with the other guests. I don't think either of my other guests are a Jane, really.
As I was going to say, it's a nice little clue for who's not coming next.
Yeah, tell you who's not coming next. Jane.
Jane Torville.
Jane Torville. Yeah, Jane and her grace and decorum are not invited.
So Has this? Do you ever have those thoughts that pop into your head about sort of maybe once a month? They just sort of pop up and then you disappear again. My first one is the guy who owned Felton never came forward to say, that was me, I had a bad day. You know this clip?
Oh, Fenton the dog.
Fenton, sorry. Fenton, sorry.
Come on, Jake. Get your six-year-old viral clip references right. Bloody hell.
God, I got that wrong in front of the wrong person.
You've been quoting the whole time going, you won, Judith. Enjoy the money. Yeah, what? So the owner of Fenton never came forward?
He never came forward. So I assume that, I mean, it's a very unique name. So I don't know if they changed the dog's name to hide his identity afterwards. But family friends must have known that was him. That, you know, that's Roger. We know Roger. Roger's had a bad day. And that's hilarious. We've never seen Roger like that. Has Peter ever spoken out since this clip's gone viral? Is he available on Cameo?
Not as far as I'm aware. He's not on the socials. I've looked. Equally, Jane is as inconspicuous as well. They all just disappeared. They were of their time, you know. They're like A1 and 5. You don't really know where they are now unless there's a show going out of their way to reunite.
Well, I don't want there to be a fourth lockdown, but should there be, if you're available, then I'll be happy to sort of start some sort of like mystery podcast solving series where we go on a hunt where for Peter and Jane.
Peter and Jane, yep, the Fenton's owner, the two girls that did a poo in the toilet and didn't flush.
And the one who and I've got the reference to, of I'm in my mom's car. Brum,
yeah,
brum.
Oh, I actually know where she, because she's DM'd me a few times wanting to do collaboration. It's we need to avoid that like the plague.
Oh, okay, right. She
a
is,
lot of if... mates started like tweeting her, going, oh, do you know that Maisie is your doppelganger? And, like, I think with most people who go viral, they're like, do you remember the Wollstone Railder who was like, you want some? You want some? I'll give it
oh,
you.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So he was like, and it was the same with this Tish girl. They were doing, like, nightclub appearances, like PAs, on their peak. And then, naturally, people stop sharing the video. It's not as entertaining anymore. Something else comes along. And, I'm in my mum's car. She was like, tweeting stuff like, don't forget, guys, you can pay me to send you a message and stuff. It's like, no one. But then when my mates, who to them, obviously, it's still absolutely hilarious, they were like tweeting her going, oh, Maisie's your doppelganger. And then I started getting like private messages being like, oh, do you want to do like, you know, we swap sort of, you look like me and I look like you. And I was just, absolutely not. I don't need this.
And now she's 7 years older, so almost probably unrecognisable.
Yeah, and she shaved the back of her hair like me. Can you imagine?
Can we just be clear that is building work going on in the background and Maisie does not have Tish somewhere in a cupboard?
Quiet, Tish! Shh.
I'm just saying it's a good idea, vroom vroom.
I said I'll let you out when I'm not doing the podcasts. She's got a podcast after this. Being me, I'm on my break.
So, despite the banging on from the inside of the wardrobe, there is also, Maisie, another knock at the door.
Right.
Peter's in now.
Noisy house, this, isn't it? I've got the pneumatic grill, my horrendous doorbell, Tish banging through the cupboard. Quiet.
And imagine this has saved you from probably, I'd imagine, as you quickly realised, quite an underwhelming chat with Peter.
Yeah. I feel like it would probably... I'm not under any illusions that it would probably lose its novelty quite quick. I think I'd want the second guest to arrive within 7 minutes of the first one, I reckon.
I reckon we're on about that time, real time. So yeah. I think that's... Yeah.
No disrespect to Peter, but I think it gives us enough time for me to go, can I just say, Peter, I'm with you. And I think you were right to say what you think. Not enough people do say what they think in a dinner party scenario. That being said, if someone annoys you tonight, please don't make it awkward. We have a little, you know, Prosecco. Yep.
Lovely.
And then I'll go and meet my second guest. Now, I'm going down the steps here, and I can already see his big, beautiful hair through the frosted glass of the door. Yeah, frosted glass. Oh. I'm doing it right. And I answered the door, and there he is with his one little earring. It is the wonderful, the beautiful, the ever talented George Michael.
Lovely. George. A lovely description. I didn't know where we were going for a second, and I thought of a few people and thought that they were still alive and you'd misunderstood the podcast. So not that I'm grateful he's dead, but
imagine, I was like, it's George Michael, and you're like, oh, thank God he's dead. No, George Michael. I've picked George Michael because not only do I think he'd be a right good party, like I think he knows. He's a great dancer. I was watching like an old Top of the Pops the other day, and he just looks like he's having the best time all the time. I think he'd have obviously lots of stories. I'd definitely want to be sat next to him or opposite him. I don't want to be at the other end of the table.
Yeah, somebody you'd never want to be. You'd want to be with at any party because you know that's the core. That's the heart of the party.
Yeah, 100%. He's the nucleus, isn't he? Wherever he goes, wherever he went, I should say. We'll keep it light. But this is going to sound terrible as one of the obviously the reasons I've just said are the main reasons I'm having George Michael. But one of the reasons of which I'm having George Michael is that when he did pass, God rest his soul, there was all these like lovely stories coming out about him of like he'd paid for people's like treatment when they were ill. He paid for like people's tuition, like college tuition. He did so much kind stuff of just sort of like basically settling the bill and didn't want any thanks, didn't want any publicity about it. So I'm thinking, obviously it's a dinner party, but If we do end up elsewhere afterwards, if we're like, right, let's go to town, not only can he get us in on the guest list, but he'll probably foot the bill. Do you know what I mean? He's like the ultimate nan that's like, here, go get yourself something nice and just and wants it all secret, wants it all under the table. I feel like even if we don't go out at the end of this dinner party, like he'll slip me a check, you know, like a nan does. Through your hand, just go, thanks for tonight, it's been really lovely, I hope that settles it all. And it will not only settle it, we'll probably let you buy an extension as well. Do you know what I mean? It'll be really, really nice. Obviously, that's not, as I say, it's not my main reason. I'm not being a tight ass and being like, who can I get that will foot the bill? But we can all agree that when somebody like that does attend a party, it's appreciated.
Look, I was always thinking, if you've got any bills with sort of that, you know, red heading at the top that's come through, just leave them out on the side.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? Wean into conversation of just, oh, George, you can't go how's life, can you? It's not there. But, you know, you're chatting to him, and then when you go, yeah, things are good with me. Obviously, it's been really, really stressful, and I think sort of the only thing that could take away that stress is sort of a holiday in Bora Bora. But, you know, we can dream, can't we? Some of us can't live that life. Obviously, it'd be nice if we could. But, I guess I'll just carry on doing my little, you know, pitiful life. And then I'd like to think that within a week you'd be on the sand.
Lovely. And he's sorted. And he's also said, don't mention this. So yeah. You don't have to do any sort of a Instagram post thanking him.
No.
Is that for any other reason than your own happiness?
You know, when you turn up to a dinner party and you bring a wine in a bottle bag, I reckon he just turns up and instead of wine, it's just lots of blank checks in a bottle bag. It's just like, there you are, sort yourself out.
And you can just sort of subtly, as the night goes ahead, sort of let him know how much roughly it costs, saying, like, does anybody would like a glass of this, like £40 Prosecco?
Exactly, yeah.
And just make sure he's sort of keeping a tally.
Yeah.
And you go, that was probably the best £2,500 dinner party I've ever had. So thanks all for coming.
What a host. Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, Peter afterwards could sort of unveil the money for you from underneath the gosh.
Can you just hold up that silver gosh? I mean, it's real silver. We couldn't really afford it, but we did it because we like to give our guests a good time. But, you know, it'll take us a while to pay back. the real silver that's made of. Anyway, George, if you had a nice night. Do you know what I mean?
Did you ever see, I know you're a big music fan.
Yeah.
Did you ever see George Michael live?
Never saw George Michael live. Wish I did. And I think by the time I was like old enough to like properly get into him, he was doing his proper chilled out stuff, you know, with his short hair and his goatee and his dark glasses. It wasn't any more like the Princess Diana hair George Michael with his earring, which I think is my favourite era. But that was, you know, I was three when that was going on. Whereas the one I had, it was all like, the album was Patience. I remember that because my mum used to listen to it when she was stressed and it was a bit of a red flag. You'd be like, right, mum's listening to George Michael.
Stay upstairs.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? But no, I'd have loved to have seen him live.
You get to pick the age he comes back, by the way, so you can have the one when you're three.
Oh, right. No, I've got Club Tropicana, George.
Oh, okay, lovely.
Yeah, so he's in his white jacket, big blonde bouffe hair, like big cross earring. Yeah, very, very, very lovely. Very attractive. And he's probably... Yeah, that sort of era, the Club Tropicana White Christmas thingy. You know, you probably need to pull up an extra chair just for his hair.
And he was very how do I say, didn't take himself too seriously.
Oh no, exactly. Which is what you want at a dinner party. Nothing worse than people that take it too seriously. That as well. I think this could be a learning curve for Peter. Is how many times was George Michael wronged in his life and he just carried on? Didn't entertain it, you know? Horrible stuff written about him. People out to get him. People trying to sell stuff on him. You don't think George Michael's had some Janes, Peter? Surrounded by Janes. Learn a thing.
Surrounded by Janes. As he reversed out of Snappy Snaps.
Yeah. Learn a thing or two, eh?
And a great cameo in Extras.
Great cameo in Extras. Great cameo in the Catherine Tate Show with Bernie. Do you remember that, Bernie the Irish Nurse?
No, I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, brilliant. That's what I mean. And I can't remember. What was it? Something with James Corden, I'm sure, isn't he in?
Yeah, I think they did a either they actually did the Christmas song together, or it was a comic relief. But I remember it was the two of them in the car singing together, wasn't it? But I think James Corden was like Smithy.
Yeah, yeah, but like so clearly up for a laugh, very very generous with his time and his money, and. Yeah, I just don't think you'd have any dramas. I don't think you're going to have any awkward silences. I think he'd be a really nice guest. And loads of gossip. Loads of gossip as well.
Yeah, which now that he's come back from the dead, he probably wouldn't mind sharing at all.
No effect on him. You can't sue him now. You know, he'll just spill the beans on all the people that were up to no good in the 80s, you know. That'd be great. I'd love to know all about that.
Imagine a good night out as well.
Really good night out. Very,
yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. And this is all about nights in, but in this state, you've got George Michael. It's a night out.
I just don't think with George Michael at your dinner party, it's going to end still as a dinner party. I think you're going to finish your sticky toffee pudding and be like, that was lovely. Where are we going? And George will be like, I've already got my driver coming round.
Yeah, we're very much focusing on the party side of the dinner party.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Lovely choice.
Thank you.
What's your favourite song of his?
Oh, maybe Faith, but then I really love Fast Love. I do love Fast Love. Freedom. I don't know any of the ones that begin with F. I'll just say. And I'd probably be that annoying at the party, being like, George, can you sing all the songs that begin with F, please? It'd be great, isn't it?
I'm rubbish. I'm always rubbish at naming songs. I never know the names of songs.
No. And then it's horrible when you get asked on the spot and you can't remember the name. So then you realise you're only left with having to sort of hum it or sing it. And that just gets even worse. It's horrible. It's horrible. Before the names of those songs popped into my head, I was about 0.2 seconds away from going, the one that goes, do 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 Jadeberg.
And I'm sure he'd love that.
He'd love that, wouldn't he? Me going, do the one that goes, Jadeberg.
Big fan. Brought you back from the dead. Can you do, how does it go?
Oh.
Right. Peter's there. He's probably not said anything for a while. George Michael's turned up and he's probably just as confused as George Michael as to why he's even there.
Imagine George telling all his stories from the 80s and then Peter going, I've got a good anecdote, actually. I once told this woman, Jane, that she had all the grace of a reversing dump truck. Silence. Like, yeah, George drove into a snappy snap, Peter. Stay in your lane.
As should have George.
Yes. Oh.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There is another knock at the door. It's the third and final until George's driver turns up later. Third and final guest knocking at the door / ringing the doorbell. It's your fictional guest. People have said this is the toughest one of the three.
Yeah, this was a tough one.
Right. This is coming from the person who chose Peter out of 7.5 billion people on the planet.
Yeah, it was. Do you want to know who else was in the running for the alive guest? It was down to two. It was a two horse race. It was Peter from Come Dine With Me and Cher. And Peter won. And I think he should be aware of that pressure when he sits down and going, any anecdote he tells that doesn't hold up, I go, I could have had Cher sat there. So these anecdotes better improve.
I want behind the scenes anecdotes from mermaids. At least, Peter, go on IMDb trivia.
Oh, God. Having to explain to George Michael, yeah, you were going to be sat chatting to Cher, George, but instead it's this bloke who went viral off Come Dine With Me. Enjoy. You'll get on, I'm sure.
But not only him, George, don't worry. There is this fictional guest who we've left downstairs. Third, final guest of the evening. Who's at the door?
So I'm going, I'm regretting it now already. I've realised I don't think I've thought particularly well about the it's a bit of a sausage fest, I'll be honest, this part. I've realised I've invited no women. I've invited no women. That's terrible. The amount of podcasts I listen to and go, oh, you chose like Desert Island Discs, you chose all males, did you? And then I've come on here and pied off Cher to have the bloke from Come Dine With Me, George Michael, and the genie from Aladdin. I mean, it's not been even a week since International Women's Day. And here I am, surrounding myself with sausage.
I mean, it is hard to argue. It's hard to argue your previous two choices. First choice, there's a lot of there.
Yeah.
A lot to be desired. Is that the phrase? Have I used that phrase correctly?
Yeah. Can I have Peter for like the starter? And unless he's absolutely roofing it with his anecdotes, can I ask him to leave and bring in Cher?
Now, the only issue with this is I do feel like with that being the previous the situation to which Cher is entering, you might get quite a bitter share.
That's true. And there's nothing worse than a bitter share at a dinner party. Maybe I do just plough on with Peter and learn from it. I'll just be sat there throughout the whole thing going, well, you won't make this mistake twice, will you, Maisie? George Michael, the genie from Aladdin, and you had as Jake says, a choice of over 7 billion people in the world, and you pick Peter. I'm already regretting Peter. But he's here now. He's here now. I was just trying to do right by him. I thought he'd been hard done by. But it's a lesson.
We all learn lessons. Every day we learn lessons. Should this situation ever arise again, you will never make this mistake again.
It's just very blokey. Do you know the amount of podcasts that I get asked on, and they'll talk about, like, what's it like often being the only woman on a lineup, and I have to go. It's just really stupid because obviously it lies with the person who makes the decisions, and it's really easy to make sure you have more than one woman there. And then this podcast is literally, Maisie, as a woman, who are you having at your dinner party? And I've gone, these three blokes. One of whom is definitely not worthy of their seat. Oh, I'm a terrible feminist. But hey-ho, let's crack on. Jeannie from Aladdin. Oh, this is the solution. As you say, I can't swap out. Peter for Cher. But if the genie arrives, I've still got two wishes in the bag. I can go, Genie, listen, this is an absolute mare. Peter's telling his come down with me anecdote for the fourth time to George Michael. George doesn't need this. He's been through enough. I need you to swap Peter for Cher. And I need Cher to be in a good mood. Like, I feel like Cher is, unlike me and Peter, who live by the rule, early is on time is late, late is unacceptable. Cher probably arrives fashionably late. So for Cher to arrive midway through the main, she's all right with that, I reckon. If anything, she'll feel like she's done that right.
And Peter, who might kick up a bit of a fuss of, well, I've got to leave, all you'd have to do is get George to cover the money he lost on Come Dine With Me and send him on his merry way.
Yeah, I don't even know if you'd have to do that, though. I reckon as he starts to kick off, go, Peter, I'll just remind you that I invited you on here to prove that you don't always kick off at dinner parties. You're going to do this twice. Are you going to really double down on that? And he'll glance at the camera like he did on Come Dine With Me and realise, yeah, I've just got to take the L here and leave. And yeah, George will give him his bus fare home, won't he?
Yeah, exactly. Or you could, to fill the feel sort of dinner party experience, give him the black cab home, and he can send you like a WhatsApp picture of him holding up a three.
Yeah, but we don't care. We don't care because now Cher's here. We've got a 50-50 lineup. It's 2021, ladies and gentlemen. So now we're going onto the dessert, and we've got me, Cher, George Michael, and the genie from Aladdin.
Just in time. It's all worked out perfectly. Perfect. Now, I assume, I don't want to assume, but I do assume, this is Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Genie.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Right, okay, great. Yeah. Just to, all respect to Will Smith.
It's not Robin. And I found the painted body of Will Smith quite distracting, to be honest. I've got, like, the genie is sort of he's a funny character, and so for him to be animated just sort of adds to that. Oh, he's so funny, he's so ridiculous as an idea, whereas Will Smith just sort of looked like he painted himself blue to join the Blue Man Group. So no, definitely the Robin Williams genie.
Which
you can get some of the songs in, you know, throughout. That'd be lovely. I think George would appreciate it. I imagine George gets invited to a lot of stuff where he's expected to break into some. It's like people who invite Elton John. He's going to be really annoyed when you ask him to when you suddenly go, oh, we've got a piano, Elton. He don't want that.
He doesn't want that.
George is having a nice time, but in the back of his head, he's thinking, any minute now, she's going to say, do the one that goes da-da-da jitterbug. And I'm not, because I've got Robin Williams as the genie here, singing the songs from the hit movie Aladdin.
And Cher. And can Cher, you do the one that goes, Cher can sing.
That's true. I think Cher's quite a good singer, isn't she? She doesn't like to talk about much, but I think she's done a bit of singing in her time.
You can just go, can you do the one that goes,
what am I supposed to do? Yeah. Yeah, she'd definitely really enjoy all our really bad Cher impressions. My Cher impression sounded more similar to my doorbell.
I thought you had someone. I thought you had an ASOS delivery.
I'd have Cher and George would be relieved to not be the ones singing, I reckon. And we've got the genie who can give us a little bit of a dance.
The numbers.
Yeah.
And so many, I mean, Peter obviously earlier was jumping on the sort of trying to save his seat, was on IMDb trivia. Give a little bit of IMDb trivia for Robin Williams. There's a lot from that film. The screenplay couldn't be nominated for an Oscar because he'd improvised too many of the lines.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's a good fact.
That's cool, isn't it? Right. Do have to, I feel, just for the people listening, for the listeners, you've chosen the genie. And I feel like I need to just ask a question that's a bit, you know, a bit sort of under the skin, Parkinson, Desert Island Discs, just a little bit. How old were you when you first saw Aladdin?
How old are you? Maybe 5 or 6? 5 or 6. You know when you finished, like, infant school at 3:30, but your mum and dad were still at work, so you had to go to, like, an after-school club?
Yeah.
Like, I had to go to one of those, and they only had one video on VHS, and it was Aladdin. So I think for, like, all of age 5 and 6, we just watched Aladdin after school every day.
That is the sort of answer I think people want, isn't it? Just enough sadness in there.
Just enough sadness, yeah. But but also, at no point did I go, we've watched this, I think I'll do something else. It's not like that was the only option. There was games, there was Jenga, there was colouring in, and still every time I was like, yeah, I've only watched Aladdin 4 times this week. Do with a Friday viewing.
Right. We now have a little quick fire round. A couple of questions. I just feel that you've painted quite a picture of what a dinner party would be like for Maisie Adam, but we'll just go for a couple anyway. Just to get the vibe. What this usually does, Maisie, at this point, is it's sort of a... It takes usually quite a highbrow conversation, and I feel like lowers it just to some quickfire questions. In this situation, no, I feel like it's really sort of harnessed. It's the sort of thing keeping it going.
Yeah, we're just carrying on the theme now.
Here we go. Right. Beer or wine?
Beer, every time. I don't drink red.
No, I can't drink wine. And I can't drink beer. I think recently I found out I can only drink gluten-free beer.
Whoa, wanker. Oh, if you were at my dinner party and I was like, Jake, beer or wine? I can only drink gluten-free, but get out. Peter, hold that taxi. Jake's getting in with you.
You're back in.
Yeah, you're back in.
I do want to stress this is for health reasons. Is that still no good? I'm saving myself as I'm being pushed down the stairs here.
Nah, just bite the bullet, Jake. Go on, live on the edge.
Or I could be saved for the following question. Whiskey or gin?
Oh, gin.
I can't drink gin. It makes me sad.
Oh, for God's sake.
Real sadness. Real sort of dark, bleak sadness.
Oh, my God.
Give it a light, Jake. Yeah. Meat or vegan?
Sorry, but meat. Yeah.
Starter or dessert?
Oh, right. Controversial here. Starter.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, desserts are often overrated. Most people...
100%.
Most people would just like a biscuit, you know, like a chocolate, like a really nice, good chocolate, like a posh Fox's chocolate biscuit.
Exactly. I agree about desserts. All you want is just a little bit of, you just want a bit of a chocolate taste or something. You just want something sweet. I'll happily just have that and after it mint and we're fine.
Yeah. I always feel like that when you've had a really nice meal and they go, would you like to have a look at the desserts? And you think, yeah, all right then. And then you're just presented with lots of stuff that just sounds very, very rich, a bit much. Like, I'll just get the meal and have a orange club bar when I get home.
Exactly what I think. I think if they handed me one time the menu was basically the chocolate bars that are underneath the till in a corner shop. And it was just a list of those. I'd go, perfect, get me a Kit Kat Chunky, peanut butter. Fine. Yeah.
Very nice.
Music or games?
Oh, music. Music.
With those three.
Michael there and then go, Scrabble, anyone? Sure. I've heard you like Boggle.
Culture or politics?
Oh, culture. Defo.
Yeah.
I think we'd all be on the same level politically. I don't think Cher's going to come out with any Stalin statements or anything. But I just can't be arsed with it at a dinner party. Let's have culture, not politics. And I think if Peter was still here, you'd be at risk of going to politics, I reckon.
So, yeah, and I think it'd very much be three against one with the politics.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'd get a bit LBC with Peter.
Signature dish.
Oh, something I've learned during lockdown. chicken chorizo and leek pie. Very good.
Now, we'll go through and go through my predictions for you.
Okay.
Ready? Alive. Now, just a reminder that Maisie went for Peter from Come Dine With Me. I went for Mick Jagger.
Oh, good one. Good one. Big fan of that.
Dead.
Yeah.
Rick Mayall.
Oh, yes. Why did I pick Rick Mayall? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah, really good. Yeah.
Although George Michael, very good shouts.
Yeah, I've done enough subbing. I just
literally speak ill of the dead. fictional. Now, I actually came up with two. The first one I came up with was Olive from Little Miss Sunshine.
She was an option.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Excellent.
Sunshine. And then who else did you have, just in case they were written down as well?
Well, the reason I got rid of her is because I thought it might be a bit odd, just as in a party, to have like a little girl.
I crossed out Olive and then put maybe the grandpa from Little Miss Sunshine, the one that's
good shouts.
Yeah, the one that's got all the Charlie but ends up in the boot of the car dead. Great night. Great night, that would be.
Fictional, then. My second choice was the Grinch.
Jake!
No.
Yeah! I had Jack Dawson from Titanic and then was like, no, it's a podcast and he's really just okay for the visuals. And I had Olive from Little Miss Sunshine crossed out for Grandpa. Willy Wonka, but then I thought it'll get weird. Genie from Aladdin and the Grinch.
Amazing.
That is so cool. Oh. Net there.
Happy with myself for that.
Bloody hell.
Like that?
I want to leave my dinner party and go to the one you predicted. I want to sub myself in. I'm now running after the taxi going, Peter, wait.
Oh, I'll take that. That is the best feedback I've had from our predictions. Love it.
That is mad. Well, it's either that is mad or I am so predictable.
The first one's nicer.
Yeah, we'll stick with the first one.
We now usually have a tough choice of picking one of your three choices to go through to the ultimate dinner party.
Yeah.
Now, I guess actually slightly difficult now that it's no longer Peter, it's now Cher. However, we have Cher, George Michael, and the Genie.
Yeah.
Who are we putting through?
To the ultimate dinner party. I'm going to say George. I think, you know, I think Cher brings a lot musically, but then can you really sit there and say that George doesn't either? And George, I don't want to keep bringing it up, but he's generous. He's generous.
Yeah.
And who needs a genie to provide you with, you know, Oh, we need a wish granted. If you've got George Michael there with his fat wallet, just going, I've got that sorted, don't worry.
A real life genie.
Yeah, I think let's go with George. Let's Bob George in.
It's a lovely shout.
It is, isn't it?
You're, of course, invited, by the way. You'll be there.
Okay, good.
Can't stress enough, you're not my live choice, but as a guest on the podcast, you're there. Before that got a bit creepy.
Yeah, no, can you imagine? for a live, I'll pick you, Maisie. That'd be great. I'm so there. That'd be lovely.
Maisie, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, mate. Thanks for having me.
Where can people find you? You're doing all right. You're on things.
I'm on a few things. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and MySpace if you look hard enough. And I'm sure one day out and about, but for now.
We can only dream.
So that was Maisie. Do check her out. She is brilliant and she's on all sorts of TV stuff and online. I highly recommend her. As ever, please remember to rate, subscribe and share. And I will be back again next week. Bye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.